you stand up and have a wriggle. You've been very, very patient this morning. You've been sitting there listening to lots of people. Lots of good stuff. Excellent stuff. And actually, I think my sermon's been preached already. But that's all right. Practically, you're already doing it. So I'm preaching to the converted, which is great. But I'll share one or two things. We're doing the five M's at the moment. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we really experienced the anointing and presence of your Holy Spirit as we worshipped you this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Our dependence on you. Father, you can touch hearts powerfully and effectively with very few words. So I pray, Lord, that you would just come and say what you want to say, and that you will touch hearts and change lives. And I thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We have had a membership and mission, and it's my job to talk about ministry. And ministry is a jargon word. It's a Christian word, isn't it? Let's have a simpler word. Service. Being servant-hearted. A minister is a servant. And Jesus role-modeled servanthood. It's a particularly a lowly kind of service, a humble kind of service, like when Jesus put a towel, wrapped a towel around his waist and washed the disciples' feet. And that was a job reserved for the lowliest servant of all. And he said, if you see me do this, this is what I want you to do as well. So we're called to be servants and to serve one another. But I've got some good news for you. Because Jesus said to his disciples, after they spent 3 years living and learning with him, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And that comes from John chapter 15, verse 14 to 16. So we're called to be servants and to serve one another. But isn't it wonderful that Jesus says to those who know him deeply and intimately, who spend time with him and love him and listen to him and learn from him and copy him, he said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And ministry is about friendship and intimacy with Jesus. Why did we sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me this morning? Why did we sing about God leaving the Holy Spirit on earth until the work is done? Because actually, the kind of service and ministry we're talking about is service and ministry that is energized and prompted and enabled by the Holy Spirit. How sensitive are we to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? That's a prayer of mine every day. Help me to hear and obey the promptings of your Holy Spirit, Lord. You know, I've talked to some of you before. I've been reading Jordan Say, and he says prophecy, it's about noticing when God speaks to you and paying attention and then talking to him and engaging with him about what he's saying and what he wants you to do with what he's saying. I was in a supermarket queue this week, and I was just heading to what looked like an empty desk with my trolley, and I noticed the person who was on the till, who I've been through the till with that person there many times, and she's chatty and friendly, and pleasant enough. And as I was approaching, I just felt the Lord say to me, that person's into witchcraft. And everything in me went, ugh. And I thought, oh. And then I felt God say to me, greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. So I just prayed quickly, quietly, telegram prayer, and I prayed the covering of the blood of Jesus, and I prayed for protection, and I carried on, no problem, straight through, perfectly friendly and nice. And why did God say that to me? So I go, why did you say that to me? And perhaps I just needed to remember that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, and be reaffirmed in my faith and trust in God. But maybe there's more to it, and I'm still praying and asking God, why would you say that to me then? But I'm listening to God. All the time I'm listening to God. And we need to be listening to God in order to be able to serve him. Now, we've had testimony this morning about people who are serving God, haven't we? What an exciting testimony about Noah. Now, I'm going to just put in a little commercial here. We could use some more people helping with the children's ministry. And if you want to be where God's at work, it's down the correct corridor. God is anointing the children's ministry. He's at work amongst our children. And we had Psalm 8 in communion this morning. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't turn them away. That was also in the gospel, wasn't it? So the first thing that I was asked to do when I became a Christian was help in the Sunday school. And I helped in the Sunday school for many, many years. And I gradually grew up from the littlest ones, the older ones, the older ones, the older ones. As my family grew up, I grew up with them through the Sunday school. And I'm going to help out down there again, because that's where God's at work, and that's where I want to be. That's what God's doing. I see what God's doing, and I want to be doing what God's doing. So I want to encourage you, if you want to experience what God's doing, come and join us in the children's ministry. If God's speaking to you about that, he won't speak to all of you, because if we all go down there, well, it'd make for interesting church, wouldn't it? But anyway, so I've got three things I want to say to you this morning. We all have a variety of gifts. All of us have a variety of gifts. God is so bountiful. I was walking under an avenue of oak trees yesterday morning, and I was crunching on millions of acorns. God is a God of abundance, and he gives us an abundance of gifts, all of us. We have natural gifts, we have spiritual gifts, and we have passion, and we have experience, and we have personality. All these things come together, and I'll mention that as we go on. So we all have a variety of gifts. We serve God best by using the gifts that he's given us. How do we find out what our gifts are? We find out what our gifts are by using them. It's interesting, isn't it, that the church has taught us for many years, oh, well, find out what your gifts are and then use them. No, that's back to front. Start doing stuff. And as you start doing stuff and helping where help is needed, and try all sorts of things, it'll become obvious to you and obvious to others where the Holy Spirit is anointing what you're doing, and where you're passionate about it, and where you love it, and where you fit and function and are effective. So get on and do stuff. Basically, what needs doing? Whatever you find to do, you know, do it with all your heart. So we all have a variety of gifts. And I've lost the sheet. Yes. Okay. So we all have a variety of gifts. Are we using them? One of the churches I attended had a little motto, EMI. You might remember that as a record company. It was in those days, but we meant every member involvement. And the Bible tells us we're all able ministers. So we all need to get involved. I'll say there's a special dispensation for very baby Christians, unless you want to grow quickly. I was in two churches after I got saved before I started serving. That was partly because I was a student and I was studying, and I didn't have much time to do anything else except get to church on Sunday morning. On my third church, interestingly, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I was asked to help in the Sunday school, and I've been ministering, serving, whatever needed to be done, wherever God was directing me ever since. It's quite a long time ago. So, a special dispensation for baby Christians, and also for burnt out faithful warriors. You know, if you're sitting there and you've been serving God faithfully all your life and you're actually exhausted, I don't want you to feel guilty or let any guilt or shame or any kind of control or anything wrong come upon you. Be released. Relax. You know, it's an interesting thing in our generation. The idea is that we pass on the baton to the next generation. But as we've grown up through church, there's been kind of a gap behind us. Praise God, we're in a church where that gap is beginning to be filled, and we can pass on the baton. And I just want to pass on the baton of everything God has given me to the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. And I want to be able to pass on the baton, say, yes, here I have everything I've got. Now jump up on top of what I've got and go on further than I can go, because I haven't got the energy and the strength I used to have. But I'll pray for you and I'll encourage you, and I'm behind you, shouting, hooray, yes, get on with it, go for it. God's with you, be blessed. So that's my heart. So we all have a variety of gifts. How serious am I in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Very early on as a baby Christian, God highlighted these verses to me. Philippians 3, 12 to 14, and you've probably heard me quote these before because they're very foundational to what I believe and the way I live. And it's Paul speaking to the Philippians, and he says this, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect." He's talking about being more like Jesus Christ. But he says, "I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." And that has been what has motivated me since I was only a week or two old. I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Let us ask ourselves, are we really serious about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do we have a sense of purpose in our life? Do we have a sense of calling? Now, I've said, firstly, that we have a variety of gifts. We can use them not just in the church. In fact, I believe God wants us to use them out there as well. I recall very, very many years ago tentatively praying healing for someone who wasn't a believer, someone who I was friendly with in the workplace, and was complaining of very seriously ulcerated legs. And tentatively, I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" "Yes, please," she said. So I prayed for her for healing, and frankly didn't feel I had much faith. Imagine my astonishment when I met her a week or so later and she said that she was a lot better and there'd been a huge improvement, and thank you very much. Now, I actually believe with hindsight that sometimes people outside the church can receive healing easier than people inside the church. And I actually believe also with hindsight that the gifts of the Spirit are given as aids to evangelism. Because after all, that's how Jesus used them, isn't it? He went out and he healed people before. He talked to them about relationship with God. And then when they said, "Oh, wow, who is this person?" then he started teaching them about the kingdom of God. So I do believe that God wants us to use gifts out there in the workplace. Praise God. That was a wonderful testimony. Hallelujah. You know, isn't it wonderful? When, and I want to encourage you, there's going to be a ministry team afterwards. If you aren't ministering and you want to be ministering, or you are ministering but you like more power, I'm not saying we've got the power. I'm saying we believe that in God, that as we pray, the power of God will flow through us and touch you. Come out. Come and get some prayer. Respond to the word of God. Just show a response and God will meet you right where you are. And maybe you'll find yourself sharing the gospel with someone next week. I don't do it very often, but I did pray for someone who wasn't a Christian last week for healing. And I'm looking forward with excitement when the next time I see her to hear whether it worked. And I shall surely preach the gospel if she says yes. So praise the Lord, God helping me by the grace of God. So do you have a sense of purpose? Do you have a sense of calling? How best do we serve God and the body of Christ and our families and our communities? We serve him by using the gifts that God has given us. And all the scriptures about gifts in the Bible say, as well as saying, these are the gifts, or, you know, it says, use them. That wonderful scripture that Jonathan read out for us, thank you. I chose that one. There's lots about gifts. I chose that one because it's less familiar than a lot of the others. This is Peter, and he is near the end of his life. He says, the end of all things is near. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And we've had testimony about the power and importance of prayer. And that's a form of service and ministry, isn't it? Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, that's poignant coming from Peter. He was the one who denied Jesus three times. But Jesus said to him three times later, do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. Do you really love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you really love me? I've reinstated you, Peter. Feed my sheep. And he actually prophesied to Peter beforehand that he was going to fall away. But he said, after you come back, you're going to strengthen the believers. So that was a prophetic word, wasn't it? That Peter didn't understand it before, but he understood it afterwards. He was covered. His sin was covered by a multitude of sins. I'm sorry, young people. We're a bit overrunning, and I'll try to be very quick. So perhaps you could just do some drawing, or you could go and play with the babies over there, and I'll be as quick as I can. We'll be quick. Okay. Love covers a multitude of sins. Each one, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others faithfully and administer God's grace in its various forms. In Corinthians, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These gifts are given to us to give away. They're not ours to keep. It doesn't mean I've got a gift of prophecy, or I've got a gift of healing, or I've got a gift of this, that, and the other. It means that person needs a gift of healing. I'm passing it to you to pass on to them. Gifts are given to us to give away. And it's about what's the best gift. Gift says, desire the best gift. The best gift is the one that's most useful for the problem you've got at the moment. If someone's sick, well, it might encourage them to prophesy over them, but it'd be much better if you prayed for them for healing if they got healed, couldn't it? That was what I was taught anyway. So, and then in Ephesians, it talks about the fivefold ministry. I have some fresh understanding about the fivefold ministry. And I just want to remind you, the apostle is like your thumb, because the thumb connects with all your other fingers easily, and the apostle works with all the other ministries. The apostle, the prophet, is your digit finger, because that's the one that, he's the one that points. He hears from God, and he tells you the way that you should be going, and tells you things that God wants you to know about your life. So your digit, your pointing finger, is your prophet. Your middle finger is the tallest one, and he's the evangelist, because he's head and shoulders above all the rest, because he's the one out there telling everyone about Jesus. Okay? Your fourth finger is the one that tells that you are in relationship with someone else if you're married. And that's the pastor, who's relational. And your little finger is like the teacher, because if you can't hear, you poke it in your ear to help you hear what the teacher's saying. Okay, so that's the fivefold ministry, helping to remember what they are. Can you remember? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay. Now, I kind of got the impression long ago that, well, apostles were out of sight. No one ever said they were apostles, did they? I mean, that would be far too proud for an English person to say. You'd never say that I was apostle. In fact, actually, I'll give you a hint. You don't tell people what your gift is. They tell you, because they see you operating in it and they recognise it. But anyway, we don't go around saying that we're apostles, do we? Because, oh, well, apostles are up there. But you know what? The disciples were ordinary, common people. They were illiterate fishermen, ordinary people, tax collectors. Well, a lot of the disciples were very uneducated people, but they spent 3 years with Jesus. And they saw Jesus lay down his life and be risen from the dead. And they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they became apostles. So if you're intimate with Jesus and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, any of the fivefold ministries are open to you. And I just wanted to share something I don't often do, but some statistics. Okay, but they're interesting statistics, all right. The church had perhaps 120 on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 got saved that day. So then in 1 AD, you had 3,000. By 100 AD, there were 25,000. By 300 AD, there were 300,000. Now, this was an organization that was persecuted, illegal, no buildings, no Bible, no clergy, laity divide. They were hounded from place to place. How did they grow from 3,000 in 1 AD to 300,000 in 300 AD? And let's think about China, which is a modern-day example, okay? In 1950, there were about 2 million Roman Catholics in China, and there were an unspecified number of Christians from European Christianity. In 1950, Mao Zedong came into power, and all church buildings were confiscated, all church leaders were executed or sent to labour camps, foreign missionaries were all sent home, and there was extremely violent state-sponsored persecution of Christians for years and years and years, and it's still going on. But here we are in 2018, nearly 70 years later, and apparently there are at least 120 million Christians in China. How do you get from 2 million Roman Catholics and unspecified few European Christians to 120 million in less than 80 years? How did they do it? They did it because in China, you couldn't have more than 35 people in a house because the houses weren't big enough. So they met in houses secretly, but when you got to 25, the next person that got saved, the best two disciples went with that person to another house and started the next 25. And that's how they grew from a few to 120 million. So everybody has the potential to be a church planter. Everybody has the potential to be an apostle. You all have the potential to be any of those things. So, what have I said? I've said we've all got a variety of gifts. Do you know what your gifts are? Because you best serve God by using your gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, start doing stuff and you'll find out. If you do know what your gifts are you using them? And I'm going to leave it there because I haven't got time to say any more, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will anoint that and use it to inspire you. And praise God, we've had a lot of testimony this morning from folk who are doing the business. I know that a lot of us are doing the business, probably all of us are doing the business, but let's carry on, let's grow exponentially, and let's share the gospel via Gideon's and wherever else we can. In Jesus' name, amen.